It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and I so appreciate each and every one of you joining us, listening in. You're each treasured, valued, you have purpose, live with intention. Strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. We were made for this time. This is a time for us to step into history, to understand these issues, and engage in this battle of ideas that is raging in our country right now. And we search for truth and clarity on this show by looking at the issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force because it's a very bad idea. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, the latest, which is government-induced inflation, a silent thief, and then there's Bidenflation as well. And we want to help you get your brain around these issues because we are in a very interesting time. I think there's the old Chinese proverb, may you live in interesting times. And we certainly do live in interesting times. I get to work with a really great team, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And producer Steve, indeed, we are living in interesting times.
You know, I'm both frightened and humbled by your open just now, because my imagination, all, you know, throughout my days in terms of learning history, takes me to, you know, the founding fathers, the patriots staring down the cannon barrel or the gun barrel of the most powerful nation in the world at the time, and understanding that they needed to do something. It was on them. So you bring it to the modern day, the contemporary time here, we need to do something. And we can't just be sitting back and watching.
We've been complacent, really, for the last 40 years or so. The 1960s was a tumultuous time in America. And then what happened was the radicals of the 60s, they cut their hair, they put on suits, they got jobs, and then they went to work in influencing the culture through education and through media and through Hollywood. And we really weren't paying attention at the time. We didn't really understand what was happening. Now we understand there's years and years of these policies. And if we do not engage in this battle of ideas and understand what's going on, I'm concerned that we will lose our country. And we did an interview yesterday for one of our America's Veterans Story shows that will air a little later on in the month. And our guest was Jimmy Nishimura, who was born in Japan, but he always wanted to come to America. And he said, because it's such a great country. And if America falls, there's no place to go. Cuba, Venezuela, Russia, China. That's why it is upon us to engage in this battle of ideas, producer Steve.
Well, let's put an asterisk by Cuba right now based on what's going on there.
True.
As we speak. And you just wonder where it's going to go after so many years of, you know, flat out, not just socialism, but communism.
Right. And socialism, communism, always it is equitable in as much as everybody is equal in their misery. And I was with some friends last week, and she said, yeah, in socialism, communism, everybody's equal. Everybody gets a saltine cracker. And I'm like, oh, ooh, that kind of defines it.
And the elites at the top get to put some caviar on their saltine cracker.
You got it. That's exactly right. So there's only the elites and the haves and the have-nots. There's no big, broad middle class like there is in America. And I tell you, Steve, there is such an assault on the middle class. I remember when going to college, you would earn a scholarship. If you studied hard and you did well, you would earn a scholarship. But then it was really starting, I think, in the 70s, where instead of earning a scholarship, and there still is that out there, but then there was this whole need-based scholarship and this whole need-based thing. I mean, you see it in affordable housing, need-based. So you get a special deal on things. We're talking about this Initiative 25, this LEAP, this Learning, Education, and Academic Program or Achievement Program. Right now they're out in the phase of getting people to sign the petitions to try to get this on the ballot in November. We are recommending to decline to sign. And you can find that op-ed on my website. And also researcher Patty Kurgan has a very important op-ed on my website as well regarding this. But one of the things is ostensibly what it is an increase in marijuana taxes, quote unquote, for the children. And on the first page, it talks about helping all Colorado children. But then as you get into the initiative, reading the whole initiative, then it's eligible Colorado children, and it's all needs-based. So once again, the middle class who is trying to make sure that they pay their way, take care of their family, and take care of their bills, they get squeezed. And of course, the haves, they have the money to... It's supposed to ostensibly be a tutoring program. So the rich have the money to hire tutors. Then over here, they say that they're going to help those in need. And once again, that big, broad middle class who has been under assault, they were the ones that were not considered essential when government was deciding who was essential and who wasn't. And that is why we must stop this whole needs-based thing. And once again, get back to where we're rewarding hard work, people taking risks and being creative and innovative. That is the America that made America who we are. And we must, I'm not going to say go back to that. I'm going to say we need to reclaim that, Steve.
Well, you tell me, in the LEAP thing, isn't the wording, doesn't suggest that, you know, the kids essentially in public schools are falling behind or could fall behind. That's why they need to be tutored. And, you know, we did a little bit of a closer look on this and said, well, what are they falling behind in? And it was like the basics. Well, mm-hmm. How much time is being given to other things besides the basics in the classroom?
Such a great point. Our kids are falling behind. And why is that? We have to ask that question. Why? Well, I would submit to you, as you are alluding to, that instead of using that valuable class time for reading, writing, arithmetic, critical thinking, science, history, that we're using that time to teach critical race theory or iterations thereof. There's all kinds of different names. If you hear No Place for Hate, that is another cousin of critical race theory. There's a number of iterations on that. And then also this sexualizing our children through this LGBTQ influenced, Planned Parenthood influenced curriculum. How about let's teach our kids the basics? And they're trying to push this all the way down into preschool now, Steve.
I have no doubt. But maybe, again, it's another indicator of the crumbling of the American two-parent home. You know, things like race relations and or the sexualization aspects of it that used to be taught by parents is being basically given over to the school system.
Well, and all of this started, a lot of this sexualization of our kids, the sex education, that started back in the 70s as well. And so once again, I don't think we quite had our brain around what the agenda was at that time, but we now have the veil is off. The mask has been lifted. And I think Americans are really waking up, not becoming woke, but I think Americans are waking up to this. And so I'm encouraged. It's a remarkable time that we're in. It's interesting times, but that is why we need to search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And be sure and check out our website. It is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You will get first look at all of our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcasts, which we're going to be ramping those up again. And then also our upcoming guests. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I thank each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we are looking at these important issues. Very excited about the America's Veterans Stories show that we'll be broadcasting this Sunday at 3 p.m. and 10 p.m. We interviewed Bear Owen, and he was a pilot in the Vietnam War, and he's also one of the guys up at Cooper's Troopers. Really a fascinating interview, Steve.
Yeah, this was probably one of my favorites so far, and all the ones that we've done. This guy was around so much different military hardware, and then went on to become a commercial airline pilot. And, you know, after the interview was over, he was telling me about, you know, a lot of different things I want to know about different commercial aircraft. So he was an all-around, just a great guy to interview.
Yeah, and so be sure and check that out. That's this Sunday at 3 and at 10. In the third and fourth segment, we'll be talking with Elizabeth Penley. And she has written a book, and it is Thursday's Children. And it's going to be really, really fascinating. It's Thursday's Children. It says their school betrayed them, their teacher defended them, and their struggle continues today. And this is about her experience in 1969 as a young school teacher in a poor, urban, recently integrated school in the South. So that will be very interesting. At the bottom of the hour, Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group. He's an expert in mortgages. Just watching interest rates. What's the Fed telegraphing that they're planning on doing, if anything? And we'll get his thoughts on inflation. Before we do that, though, our quote for today is from Martin Luther King Jr. And he was an American Baptist minister. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize he was a minister. That's why they called him the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. And he was an activist who became the most visible spokesperson and leader of the American Civil Rights Movement from 1955 until his assassination in 1968. And he advanced civil rights through nonviolence and civil disobedience, inspired by his Christian beliefs and the nonviolent activism of Gandhi. He was born in 1929. He died in 1968. This is what he said. The function of education is to teach one to think intensively and to think critically. Intelligence plus character, that is the goal of true education. Oh. I thought that was very important, Steve, as we're looking at talking about critical race theory and all that. This is the exact opposite of that.
Oh, Dr. King, what would you think today if you could see what was going on?
Yes, I think that, well, it's hard to know exactly what he'd be thinking, but he did have that quote that he dreams of a world someday where his little children will not be judged on the content of their character, or on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character. And certainly with what we see is going on with this Democrat Party, is that's all they seem to see is color, and that's all they seem to say is racist. And I think that would be antithetical to what he was trying to accomplish. But we're going to go to break. Before we do that, tonight the girls are coming over, Steve, and I'm going to be ordering some of those great smoked wings from Hooters Restaurants. Hooters Restaurants is a great partner of both of my shows. And these, they're always a hit when the girls come over, and they're half the calories if you're watching your figure. And be sure and check out my website and click on my sponsors tab. I highly recommend each and every one of them. And click on the Hooters tab there, and that'll drop down. You'll see all their specials, but they have happy hour specials. And then today is Wings Day. You buy 20 wings for to-go or dine-in, and you get 10 for free, so be sure and check that out. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about President Biden's speech yesterday regarding voting. You won't want to miss it.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
If you change your mind, take a chance on the first thing in line.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Producer Steve, yesterday President Biden delivered a speech regarding he calls voting restrictions un-American. I think that you've got a soundbite that you snagged on this. Let's hear that.
So hear me clearly. There's an unfolding assault taking place in America today, an attempt to suppress and subvert the right to vote in fair and free elections, an assault on democracy, an assault on liberty, an assault on who we are as Americans. For make no mistake, bullies and merchants of fear, peddlers of lies, are threatening the very foundation of our country.
There you go. You're a bully and you're a merchant of lies.
If you want free, fair, and honest elections, and let's see, there's a national article that Patty pulled out. It says GOP state voting restrictions un-American, Biden declares. And what we've seen, several different things. He says preserving voting rights. I think that we do agree that voting is such a sacred right here in America. But we have seen an assault on people's vote counting. And one of those things, I remember when mail-in voting came here into Colorado, I want to say it was like 2013, 2014. I was looking at that. I'm thinking, I think that there could be abuse on this. And had been talking with Karen Levine about this. And she had said, you know, Kim, I really like the convenience of mail-in voting, the fact that I can actually sit down and think about these issues. You know, we have voters' guides, our voters' guide nearby to be thinking about this instead of feeling a pressure of you know, if there's a line. And now Karen didn't say this, but, you know, feeling the pressure of a line behind you and having to vote. You certainly need to prepare and understand what these issues are, who the players are, what the consequences will be of the piece of legislation or voting for a particular candidate. But what we've seen with mail-in voting is it offers up the opportunity for people to harvest ballots. And that would mean going out, and the Dems have done this very well, going out doing a lot of pre-work on who they think would be predisposed to vote the way they want them to. And not really informing people, but I think basically using media to influence people a certain way instead of sitting down and really critically thinking about these issues. Or maybe people don't even really think about those issues, but if they think they're predisposed to vote the way they want, that they'll go out and say, hey, I'll pick your ballot up and I'll take it and I will deliver it. Also, if somebody's not going to vote the way they want, they can say, I'll pick your ballot up, and they may not submit that. And so mail-in voting has the opportunity to really undermine your vote. And yet we see the Democrat Party really wants to move towards that. And I think that that is really undermining people that take their civic duty responsibly, very responsibly, to know what is going on and to vote. If you don't know what's going on, if you don't know the candidate, you have a responsibility either to find out or not to vote. Steve.
Well, we talked about this many a time before. You being a citizen requires, it's just like being in high school, you got homework and you need to do it.
Exactly. That is precisely right. And now that we've seen some of these Texas Democrats that have gone to Washington, D.C., because they are trying to basically stop voter integrity or an election integrity voter trying to tighten up the security, I would say, on your vote. They have gone to Washington, D.C. Of course, there's all kinds of controversy about who paid for the private plane, who's paying for their rooms and their food there. Are they doing that? Is somebody else? Those are very valid questions. But it looks like what they're trying to do, Steve, is a strategy to buy time to try to put pressure. You can see how all this is coordinated. Biden gives a speech. The Texas Democrats go to Washington. And Texas State Representative Chris Turner, who is the leader of the Texas Legislature's House Democrats, predicted that their efforts would ultimately be futile unless congressional Democrats take bolder action to overcome a Senate Republican blockade of the sweeping federal voting bill. So this is all coordinated, Steve.
Well, Patty tipped me off to this several weeks ago, and I think the article we were passing back and forth had to do with voting, but she said, look how united they are in just their terminology. Now, didn't you say earlier in this week, one of the promos we made, Stacey Abrams used the phrase 21st century Jim Crow assault.
Right.
Biden used that same term last night, and you know, that's not that she's giving them any credit, but Patty would say that that is one of their strengths in terms of unifying their message. So it's coming from multiple sources. But watching or listening to that soundbite just now, it just disgusts me. I don't know what you call the term, what you know, we were talking earlier, doublespeak. Everything that he says that is happening is what they're actually doing. And I thought, cannot anybody see through this?
Well, I think so many people are. In fact, I'm hearing from more and more listeners and listeners that are from the other side of the aisle that are very, very concerned about this. And so I really think that people are waking up. And that's why I think that you're seeing this kind of lightning speed movement to get all of this changed, because I think they realize that people are waking up to this, and it's very scary. But on the other hand, this has all been under the surface, Steve. This didn't just happen overnight. This has been going on. And Donald Trump, whether or not you like him or don't like him, or didn't like his tweets or whatever, it has brought tremendous clarity to what has been underneath the surface here. Everyday hardworking people. I used to really think that people that were elected into office on both sides of the aisle were more founding fatherish, that were willing to pledge their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor because they cared about the American people. But go over to this. Speaking of fortunes, this piece here, is it Richard Blumenthal? I think this is near the back, Steve, that he and his wife have a six-figure investment in a Chinese shopping center. Yes, Blumenthal, this is from Free Beacon. It says, Blumenthal and wife have six-figure investment in Chinese government-linked center. And you wonder how these politicians that make, what, $180,000 a year, have been in the Senate or the House of Representatives for years and years and years, how is it that they become very, very wealthy? Where they're all so interested in Donald Trump, as somebody said, I'm more interested in finding out how politicians become millionaires than how a billionaire became a politician. And once again, instead of pledging their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor, we now have it's human condition. It can happen, but they are making their fortune off of the American people, and we are waking up, Steve.
Well, and it's what they're, you know, what they're saying as they're doing it in terms of basically speaking out of both sides of their mouth. But, you know, they go to Washington to become wealthy. And that seems to be the bottom line. The heck with the middle class, the working middle class.
Well, and these notes that you sent over is, once again, you said they're negatively impacting the working middle class and only pandering to special interest, not to mention vote buying. And there has been such an assault on the middle class. We'll be talking with Karen Levine tomorrow. She's working so hard on protecting private property rights because we see this assault on single-family housing. Oh, and that was one thing that I wanted to just mention, connecting another dot. Patty had pulled a couple of weeks ago a news article about BlackRock. The investment company has a number of very high-level BlackRock executives that are now in the Biden administration. And BlackRock for many years has been buying single-family homes as investment property. And they're able, with all the money they have, let's think about it. Here you've got the little couple that saved their money, and they've gone to Lauren Levy, and they've gotten pre-qualified for their loan for their house, and they've used Karen Levine to buy the house and get in there. And then you have an investment company that can come in and offer cash offers at above the asking price. And, of course, people in their best interest will many times take that higher offer. And so they've been buying up single-family homes, thereby pushing that opportunity away from everyday people and in inflating the prices. And then I just saw, this just came across this morning. Steve is a BlackRock executive, says that he is very concerned about the, is it the Delta variant? I had it.
The Delta's the current one up, but there's another one waiting in the wings behind it.
Right. And so the BlackRock executive, let's see, I had who it was. He says, it's the CEO, Larry Fink. He was on Squawk Box, CNBC's Squawk Box, and he was discussing BlackRock's earnings report. And then he also said that he was very concerned about the Delta variant. When you talk about how do they all have these talking points, it makes you wonder, but you can just connect some dots here with the Biden administration and BlackRock on that. Let's talk to Lauren Levy, though. He is an expert on mortgages and watching interest rates and what the Fed is telegraphing and inflation. Lauren Levy, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim.
So there's a lot of inflation going on out there at the grocery store and at the gas pump. But it seems that interest rates still, they're keeping those, I would submit, artificially low. Do you think that they're keeping them artificially low, Lauren?
Yeah, I think, in essence, that's what they're doing. They've been doing it for a decade now because they know that housing is a way to develop wealth and it helps people save monthly, save on their monthly mortgage payments to help people get by. So, yeah, the Fed has been in there. We've been talking about this, you and I, for a long time. Where they're buying $80 billion of mortgage-backed securities a month, which is helping provide the buyer of last resort and increasing demand, which is keeping the yields and the rates lower. That's what's been going on for a long time, which is a positive for homeowners that and home buyers that have more buying power and can get lower payments.
Well, Lauren, a few weeks ago we were talking about this, and I just mentioned BlackRock. I had not been aware that these investment companies have been in buying single-family homes. You mentioned for a number of years since when the market crashed in 2008. But it seems like when these big guys come in with all that cash that it inflates the prices. So in a way, it almost, what you've said is that the Fed, they say, we want people to be buying homes, but yet right. They're saying that, but inflating the housing prices so much, it makes it difficult for people. It seems kind of like they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. What do you think?
Well, I could see that. I think in this particular instance that you're referring to, I think it's two different branches of government. I think Congress was in there thinking it was a good idea for BlackRock and these guys to be able to buy these homes to support the market. Now, that was back in 2012 when the market needed support, so they were buying huge swaths of homes to stop blight from happening in different cities. That was the concept. Now we have unintended consequences where they're still in there buying them. The Fed only has nothing to do with that. They only control the purchases of mortgage-backed securities and treasuries and helping to keep rates low. But like you said, Tim, these guys are cash buyers coming in. They don't care what the rates are, So it's a
two departments
coming at it, the Fed doesn't have anything to do with BlackRock and those guys. But you had mentioned just before I came on, to me, it seems like it's an access to information thing. You hear about if this was stockbrokers acting on information that they had and buying stocks and making money, they would be under investigation. And here you have all these congressmen and senators that have all this access to information of what's going on in our country, and they can act on it and make investments, and very rarely, if ever, come under investigation for their investments. You know, it's insane that they can do that.
Right. It's once again, it's kind of like two different sets of rules on that. Hey, Lauren, interest rates have not moved yet. So, and I actually am seeing more for sale signs out there. So there may be opportunities for people, but they need to get pre-qualified. Are interest rates, can you still get something with a 2 at the beginning of it?
You can. Interest rates are still great. You can get something with a 2 still. And yes, so hopefully what you're seeing is correct, that there is an ever so slight loosening in the market, with some more inventory coming on. Karen can speak better to that tomorrow, but I believe I'm seeing that in my neighborhood as well, which is nice. It'll hopefully give people an opportunity to get in the game.
I don't know if I coined this. Maybe I heard it, but I'm taking some credit for it when I was talking with Karen and Lee Brown, is the velocity of housing. If you get to a point where people aren't moving, then it stops that velocity. So I think if we can start to get some velocity in that, that's really going to help people be able to get their homes. How can people reach you if they have not done their refi yet to do a refi or to get pre-qualified or even to do a reverse mortgage? How can people get in touch with you, Lauren?
The best way is just give us a call, 303-880-8881.
Again, that's Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, 303-880-8881. Lauren, great. We will talk to you next week, and you have a great day.
Thanks, Kim. You too.
Okay. We're going to go to break. When we come back, you will not want to miss this conversation with Elizabeth Pendley about education and her book, Thursday's Children. Their school betrayed them, their teacher defended them, and their struggle continues today. Stay tuned.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we are looking at these issues through this lens. Freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Something's a good idea. You should not have to force people to do this. I am really looking forward to this next conversation with Elizabeth Pendley. She has written a book, Thursday's Children. Their school betrayed them, their teacher defended them, and their struggle continues today. And it's based on her experience back in 1969 teaching in an urban school in the South that was recently integrated. Elizabeth Pendley, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you.
This is quite a title for this book. So where should we start with this?
You're right. This certainly is a memoir, but in all honesty, this is Thursday's children's story. And I'd like to start with them. They, I met them outside my classroom, and as you said, recently integrated school. I had 27 in the class. There were 21 who walked from black children who walked from the projects behind the school. And there were 6 white children who were bused in. Now, these children arrived at my classroom door. They were undisciplined. They were surly.
All of them? Were all the kids undisciplined?
Most.
Okay.
Right. So undisciplined, angry, profane language would, one of my friends said, curl your hair. The many were unfed. Some were unwashed. And some were ill. And these children arrived at my door. There were 13 girls. There were 14 boys. And they ranged in age from 9 to 12, which is not typical. That's a much broader age range for a group, a class group, than you would expect. The first thing, yeah,
and question, I didn't write this down correctly. So you said there were 13 girls.
Yes.
And 14 boys, is that right?
14 boys.
Okay, yes. Got it. Okay.
Right. So, and of those children, there were 20 who were functioning below grade level. So if they were expected to be reading on a third grade level, I had children reading on a first and second grade level, and amazingly enough, Kim, how is this possible? I had four who did not know their alphabet. They'd been in school at least 3 years. This is a huge failure in the education system. There's no question about it. And so I had the ability to watch them just briefly with the teacher I was replacing, and the level of chaos and disorder in that classroom was just very sobering. When I stepped into the room, we had a fist fight going on. The level of noise was beyond belief. We had four boys crawling on the floor, something I still don't know why they were doing. We had two who were chasing each other. We had the pencil sharpener going. We had paper airplanes flying through the air. And in the midst of all this was a young teacher who was shouting out spelling words. I think it was a spelling test. And when I saw all that, I determined that the very first thing I needed to teach was discipline. And after that, I planned for the next 6 months, because I only had the class for 6 months from December to June, I would focus on basics, reading and math. That was my game plan.
So were you just out of college? Was this your first job?
It was not. This was my third year teaching third grade, but obviously this was a brand new school in the South, and one that I had never encountered before as far as the conditions of the building, which were horrific. The roof leaked. The furnace may or may not work. The plumbing leaked. Windows were cracked. There were bugs because there were no screens. So the physical facility was terrible, but much, much worse than that was the complete dysfunction of the school. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking about this. So this was 1969. We had the Civil Rights Act in 1965.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I've always kind of blamed LBJ for this whole, you know, what is it, the Great New Society or whatever it was, and how that had really put in place government dependency in poor communities. But I'm thinking back, if this is what this was like then, I could see how people would be wanting to try to improve that. And I guess, as the Democrats always do, they step into a crisis and use that to take on more power. I'm just kind of trying to connect those dots. This is terrible that there's not this discipline, but this seems like this was going on much further than before 1965. What do you think about that, Elizabeth?
Well, the real issue here was that racism drove every decision that was made in that school. The example that I'd like to start with, when I was being interviewed, the principal looked at me, and he was a black gentleman. It was his first year as principal. And he said, "Well, you're white. Are you prejudiced?" And before I could even respond, he said, "I ain't having no uppity white folk teaching in my school." And that was the beginning. That was where I started with him. And when I'm saying that racism drove decisions, an example would be 20 of those 27, as I mentioned, were below grade level. And I asked him for reading books that would meet their needs, so first or second grade reading books. And I was told absolutely not. I taught a third grade, and this third grade had third grade books. Anything not, you know, below third grade would indicate that these children were stupid, and he was not going to have any kind of prejudicial comments about these black children. And so I did not have the equipment I needed. He also was insistent that all grades had to be a C or above, and if you did not do that, anything below that was considered prejudice on the part of the teacher. I found out about that in an interesting way, because Tanetta's mother appeared in my room demanding to know why her child had been given an E, which is this strange grade between a D and an F. And I remember struggling with that decision. She read on a first grade level, but that was not the real problem. She refused to do any of the work to improve her ability to read. And as I was trying to explain this to Tanetta's mother, she stomped out of the room saying, "I ain't never gotten nowhere with no white honky," and went to the principal. Well, he was furious with me, and he came back into the room and said he had warned me and that that was never to happen again. So race drove the parents' attitude. I had one parent who was upset because her white child was being bused in, and she was forced to sit by black children in a black school. And so her attitude caused that child to be sick. By midday, grandmother would pick her up and take her home. And by the end of the year, that child simply stayed home, and I sent work home for her to do. That next year, I was told she was put in a white Christian school. And in comparison, I had a black mother insist that she wanted her child put in with the only other black third grade teacher, and she did not want me disciplining her child. She wanted her child taught by a black teacher. So again, a racial component was there. The teachers themselves had very difficult, actually they were divided half and half, and one teacher kept a little book and she wrote everything down. So if a white kid needed to go to the bathroom, the next child had to be a black child who went to the bathroom. And Kim, I asked her, I said, "Well, what if he doesn't have to go?"
Yeah.
And she told me that that had never happened. But here she is keeping track very diligently. Now, this was an older black teacher and very well-meaning. The things that made it difficult, of course, as far as reading go, my main goal, I was able to work with the teachers and set up a new reading program that allowed us to separate the children by their reading level, and we swapped them. And that was hugely successful because by the end of the 6 months, those four non-readers were reading on a first grade level, which was thrilling to be able to see.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely, Elizabeth. I'm just kind of incredulous at the story that you are telling us.
I know it was 50 years ago, but there were three things in that school at that time, and you mentioned this with the Civil Rights Act. We had...
Okay. Elizabeth, I tell you what, let's do this. Let's go to break, and when we come back, let's go through those three things. I'm talking with Elizabeth Pinley regarding her book, Thursday's Children. Their school betrayed them, their teacher defended them, and their struggle continues today. Before we do that, though, these interesting conversations come to you because of my great partners. One of them is that family-owned business, Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Hal Van Herke is a veteran. They're sponsors of both of my shows, and he and Linnea Van Herke have this great little business and a great website, castlegate.com. And whether or not you are a chef or a collector or a sportsman or need to buy a wedding gift, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. Be sure and check that out. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation with Elizabeth Pinley.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson. Sunday afternoons at 3 here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I really appreciate all of the support that you give us as well. Thank you. On the line with me is Elizabeth Pinley. She's written a really important book, Thursday's Children. Their school betrayed them. Their teacher defended them. And their struggle continues today. Elizabeth, you said there were three things that you wanted to mention that were going on at that time.
Yes, and they're not existent in the classroom today. We had Dr. Martin Luther King and his hope of a colorblind society that should have been the overriding emphasis in this school, but we did have that hope. We also had prayer. We had faith in our classroom that the school day started with scripture and with prayer. And we had patriotism in that classroom. We had a flag, and we pledged allegiance every morning, and we sang a patriotic song. These things don't exist in the current classroom. What we have now is CRT, this critical race theory that's being pressed into our schools at the elementary level, determining that there are victims and there are oppressors, that all white folks are racist. And this is very dangerous because what is happening is we are going back to 50 years ago when race made the decisions, and made the decisions on the textbooks that were to be used, or the grades that were to be given, or the discipline that was not used by that principal, because all children need to be loved and they were not to be corrected. So when desks were being thrown or knives were being brought out, he was absent. He would not enforce discipline.
Elizabeth, parents or countries or schools, that it's not loving to not discipline our children. No. It's not loving to not give them the tools to discipline themselves. That is not loving or compassionate at all.
No. And what it did was it diluted the education that these children received. Thursday's children is based on a nursery rhyme. The Thursday's child has far to go. And these children can make that journey with the appropriate educational tools. And so what I would want to do is challenge your listeners to look at the schools and the education in their community and determine that the absolute best education system is being provided, not based on race, but simply based on the educational needs of the student.
Wow. So we've got probably about 5 minutes left here, okay. Elizabeth, and you mentioned that we had this racism or the civil rights going on. Were there a couple of other things you wanted to mention as well?
Well, racism was, it permeated the atmosphere in the school, and it was, in fact, reported to the school board. It was reported to the newspapers at that time without any results. They simply ignored the information they had received. And so what I see this, I know it's historic, and I realize this is 50 years in the making, but it's a cautionary tale. I was teaching in an atmosphere that we appear to be going towards now, with racism being pressed into the elementary school. And it is important that we become champions for these children and that we determine that the absolute best education is possible for them to receive.
Our kids are falling behind, Elizabeth. Yes. We used to have a great education system. We're spending all kinds of money. I think we might be number one in the world on the amount of money that we're spending. I was with some friends last night, and I've not sourced this, but statistically, one of the guys said that we are number one in spending, but we're number 34 in results. There's something wrong with that.
Very much so.
And our kids are falling behind. No parent, no matter what color they are, they do not want their kids to fall behind. And then we're seeing all this power of the teachers' unions in political campaigns. Well, our kids continue to fall behind. This has to stop. And I also contend that racism is taught. It's not something that is innate. Kids don't think, really see color. And so when we are pushing this critical race theory and its cousins, no place for hate and all this, and in our different school districts and teaching kids that they're victims and those that are oppressors, this does not set any of the kids up for success. And
no.
I guess a question on the table is, why would they do that, Elizabeth?
My classroom, the issues that arose had nothing to do with race. I had friendships between the walkers and the busers, and of course the busers left, so they couldn't play with their friends after school. I did not have racial issues in my classroom. If there was a skirmish, it was because somebody pushed in line or they took somebody else's pencil, that type of thing, typical children things. And you're right, it is taught. It's at that time, the administration was not interested in resolving it. And what we're seeing now are teachers' unions and other administrations who are also, it's a control method now, I believe, this CRT. We have political leaders who are pressing race into every crevice of society, and it's a very dangerous time. It's very divisive.
A house divided against itself cannot stand. Elizabeth, we've got 1 minute left. What is the final thought you want to leave with our listeners?
I would hope that they would become Thursday's children champions, and that they would focus on providing the absolute best education possible in their community. Be aware of what's being taught, and if you don't support it, speak up about it. This book illustrates the necessity of doing that. And you can find it on Amazon. It's in paperback or Kindle. And there's also, I do have a Twitter account. And so you can follow me in that way as well.
And what's that handle?
The Twitter account?
Yes.
It's Thursday's Children.
Okay, very good. Elizabeth Penley, thank you so much for this very important conversation.
Thank you, Kim. I appreciate it.
And our quote for today is from Martin Luther King Jr. He says, "You don't have to see the whole staircase, but you just take the first step." My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically. Strive for high ideals and, like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. Like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them.